Part 2. Anticipated Large Chapter 11 Filings. Now let's turn to the topic of large Chapter 11 filings troubled company reporter editors anticipate in the near term. Carlo Fernandez identified six companies that may be close to filing for bankruptcy. Geokinetics, Dynasil, Heron Lake, Travelport, Evergreen International, and Otelco. Geokinetics Inc. intends to seek bankruptcy protection with a pre-negotiated or pre-packaged plan of reorganization. Geokinetics on January 15th disclosed that it has entered into a restructuring support agreement with holders of more than 70% in aggregate principal amount of its 9.75% senior secured notes due 2014 and the largest holder of the company's preferred stock. Under the terms of the restructuring support agreement, the entire $300 million of the company's senior secured notes will be converted into common equity, and the noteholders will become the majority equity owners of the company at the consummation of the restructuring. Holders of senior secured notes will provide up to $25 million of financing that will be converted to equity at consummation of restructuring. Company operations are expected to remain unaffected. Certain holders of the senior secured notes have agreed to backstop up to $25 million in a debtor-in-possession financing facility to allow the company to finance its operations. On the effective date of the Chapter 11 plan, the DIP facility will be converted to common stock of the reorganized company at a discount to Chapter 11 plan value. Headquartered in Houston, Texas, Geokinetics provides seismic data acquisition, processing, and integrated reservoir geosciences services, and land, transition zone, and shallow water OBC environment geophysical services. The company's balance sheet at June 30, 2012, showed $410.85 million in total assets against $580.1 million in total liabilities. Dynasil Corporation of America reported a net loss of $4.3 million on $47.88 million of net revenue for the fiscal year ended September 30, 2012. Compared with net income of $1.35 million on $46.95 million of net revenue during the prior fiscal year. The auditor, McGladrey LLP, issued a, quote, going concern qualification on the consolidated financial statements for the year ended September 30, 2012. The company is in default of the financial covenants under the terms of its outstanding debt with Sovereign Bank N.A. and Massachusetts Capital Resource Company. If our lenders were to accelerate our debt payments, our assets may not be sufficient to fully repay the debt, and we may not be able to obtain capital from other sources at favorable terms or at all. If additional funding is required, this funding may not be available on favorable terms, if at all, or without potentially very substantial dilution to our stockholders. If we do not raise the necessary funds, we may need to curtail or cease our operations, sell certain assets, and/or file for bankruptcy, which would have a material adverse effect on our financial condition and results of operations, the company said in a regulatory filing. Watertown, Massachusetts-based Dynasil develops and manufactures detection and analysis technology, precision instruments, and optical components for the homeland security, medical, and industrial markets. Dynasil's balance sheet at September 30, 2012, showed $37.46 million in total assets against $18.62 million in total liabilities. Heron Lake Bioenergy LLC amended its forbearance agreement with Agstar Financial Services PCA that provides for a forbearance period until February 28, 2013, relating to certain covenant defaults and required monthly principal installment payments. The parties entered into the original forbearance agreement on December 21, 2012. As of December 1st, Heron Lake Bioenergy LLC owes Agstar $36.3 million under a term note and $4.2 million under a revolving note. The company did not make the required monthly installment of principal required by the notes on December 1st and January 1st, and said it won't make the required monthly installment of principal required by the notes on February 1st. On January 3rd, the company entered into an asset purchase agreement as the sole member of Lakefield Farmers Elevator LLC, under which it has proposed to sell substantially all of the real property and personal property of Lakefield Farmers Elevator, used in connection with the operation of its grain storage and handling facilities, to FCA Co-op. Minnesota-based Heron Lake owns and operates a dry mill, corn-based, natural gas-fired ethanol plant near Heron Lake, Minnesota. The company's balance sheet at July 31, 2012, showed $94.1 million in total assets and $47.1 million in total liabilities. DebtWire said Travelport Management is negotiating a plan to right-size its balance sheet with a select group of bondholders who have gone restricted. The companies are reportedly considering scenarios, including swapping the company's 2014 unsecured notes, $318 million of floating rate notes, and a $429 million 9.875% note, into longer-dated secured paper. Travelport also would look to pull off a distressed exchange that swaps its subordinated notes into a convertible bond or other unsecured piece at a discount. DebtWire also reported that Canyon Capital, which leads the charge on unsecured bondholder litigation, is leading a group of 9.875% senior unsecured bondholders for the current round of restructuring negotiations. Apollo Global Management is also a significant holder of the unsecured paper. According to the report, Travelport has retained Skadden Arps as restructuring counsel. Jones Day is advising unsecured bondholder trustee, the Bank of Nova Scotia. Headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, Travelport provides transaction processing services to the travel industry through its global distribution system business, which includes the group's airline information technology solutions business. Travelport's balance sheet at September 30, 2012, showed $3.35 billion in total assets against $4.38 billion in total liabilities. Air cargo carrier Evergreen International Aviation, Inc., failed to make an interest payment due December 31st, Standard & Poor's said. Evergreen had intended to cover the payment from proceeds from asset sales that were delayed. The company had been in violation of loan covenants since the second quarter of the fiscal year. S&P predicts there should be a 90% to full recovery on the $200 million in first lien term loan and revolving credit. For the $110 million second lien term loan, S&P sees the recovery at 10% or less. The McMinnville, Oregon-based company provides airlift for the U.S. Government Air Mobility Command. The drawdown of troops abroad is adversely affecting revenue. Evergreen is closely held and doesn't issue public financial statements. Hotelco, Inc. said it will seek Chapter 11 protection after voting on its prepackaged plan is completed. Hotelco, on February 1st, announced an agreement with senior lenders for a restructuring that would reduce its overall debt by roughly $135 million. Under the agreement, senior lenders will extend the terms of its current senior financing through April 2016. In addition, the company's existing senior subordinated debt will be converted into equity. The company said it has over $32 million in cash and sufficient liquidity to consummate this transaction. Before any Chapter 11 filing, Hotelco will seek the support of holders of its senior subordinated notes for the proposed plan through a solicitation process that will occur in February. The voting process is expected to take about 35 days. Hotelco is a wireline telecommunication services provider in Alabama, Maine, Massachusetts, Missouri, New Hampshire, Vermont, and West Virginia. In addition to the challenged companies mentioned in Mr. Fernandez's report, the Troubled Company Reporter provides ongoing reporting about more than 3,000 companies experiencing financial distress or restructuring their balance sheets in a judicial proceeding. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. That concludes Part 2 of the report. The report continues in Part 3.